Could this night get any more embarrassing? The correct answer is no. If I had even for a second thought my life wasn't a hot fucking mess, consider myself reminded. Foster isn't going to get anywhere near my lips now. Not knowing and seeing half my face covered in recycled baby formula. Not that I want him to try and kiss me again. Nope. Definitely not that. Oh, fuck. This no hockey player rule is harder to maintain than I thought it would be. As soon as I dry off, I put on a pair of flannel pajama pants and my Hocus Pocus hoodie. At this point, I want to be comfortable. And I'm pretty sure Foster doesn't give two fucks what I'm wearing. I'm sure that almost kiss in the hallway earlier was fueled by leftover adrenaline and had nothing to do with me. I was in the right place at the right time, like before. When I get back out to the living room, Foster has his back to me, swaying to "I'll Be" by Edwin McCain and singing along to the lyrics. His voice is low, not the best I've ever heard, but it's perfect just the same. Suddenly, there's a lump in my throat and I'm blinking back the tears. I'm not always an emotional person, but this right here wrecks a piece of me. Mason won't have a dad to sing him to sleep after a nightmare, or to look for monsters under his bed, to teach him how to throw a baseball, or hold his hand through the difficult times in life and let him know that no matter what, he'll always be loved. Sure, I'll be here to do all that, but having one parent isn't the same as having two. There will always be something missing. And no matter how hard I try to be both parents, it's impossible. I knew I'd be raising him alone. I knew it the moment Ron told me to take care of it, like the jerk he is. But it never really sank in. Not until now. Yeah, being a single mom is tough. I know this. But it's not about me. It's about that innocent little boy who will always wonder where his father is, what he did wrong, why he wasn't worthy of his unconditional love.
Avery?
I'd been so lost in my own thoughts, I didn't see Foster turn around. His brows are raised, and he assesses me with a frown. After taking a deep breath, I quickly swipe under my eyes and force a smile. I don't need him to know how broken I really am. Well, thanks for putting him to sleep. Let me get him to bed. My words are rushed as I practically run across the room to gently transfer him from Foster's arms to mine. He tries to catch my eyes, but I keep them on Mason. I still feel vulnerable, exposed, and I need to get away from his watchful gaze. I need to reset, breathe for a minute, and put on my armor. For the second time tonight, I'm flying out of the living room like it's on fire. Mason doesn't stir as I put him down in his crib and switch on the baby monitor. Gripping the rails of the crib, I watch him sleep in the dim light cast by the dinosaur nightlight. He's so small, so innocent. He doesn't deserve to be affected by my poor choices or Ron's. I wish I could protect him from all the evils of the world, from the bullies, from the people who will look down on him because his dad thinks he's too good to be in his life. I wish I could protect him from everything, but I can't. Hell, I can't even protect myself. This time I bow my head and let the tears fall. I cry for him, for myself, for the future we deserve but we'll never have. I let it all crash over me like a tidal wave crashing onto the beach. I give myself over to the feelings of loss and despair and total helplessness. I'm so fucking lost that I don't notice Foster beside me until he places a light hand on my shoulder. Just what I need. Him to think I'm a basket case on top of everything else. Or he'll just feel sorry for me and I don't need his pity. Shaking his hand from my shoulder, I straighten up and rub my eyes with the sleeves of my hoodie. And then I look away.
Avery.
His voice is soft as he grabs my shoulders and turns me to face him. I'm fully prepared to feel judged, shamed. But I don't see any pity in his eyes, only kindness. And it's another hit to the feels. The man has no reason to be nice to me. He's technically my employer, and he's looking at me like he wants to hold me together. Avery, he repeats himself, but this time when he says my name, it's thick with emotion.
You're not alone. I'm here for you.
Right now. He won't be here tomorrow or next year. In fact, next year he'll go back to being my brother's teammate and I'll be long forgotten. I don't know when the tears started streaming down my cheeks for the third time tonight, but I feel them now, burning their way down my skin. Each one another symbol of how I failed.
Lean on me, Avery.
His hands rub across my shoulders, and he pulls me against his chest.
Let me be there for you.
His words wash over me, the British accent soothing me, making me sink into his chest. His arms tighten around me. I let him hold me until my emotions subside, and I feel more like my normal self. Then I let him hold me some more. I listen to the steady beat of his heart. I wrap myself up in his leathery cologne. I let myself feel like there's a reality that exists where I get to keep this man. And then I push away and give him a wobbly smile. Thanks. His hands fall from my shoulders, and he gives my arms a comforting squeeze.
You don't have to thank me for anything, Princess. I'll always be there when you need me, even when this is over.
It sounds so nice. I almost believe it.